Hey, everybody, this is Justin Michael Williams with Motivation for Black People, giving you trusted guidance to make your life better. And you see the topic. We are talking about marriage. And I have a very special guest with me today. I got Justin Riley here. Justin, say what's up?
What up, what up, what up?
Yeah, you guys. So check it out. I know you listening, if you've been listening to this podcast before, you're like, Justin is talking about marriage? Like, what? But listen up. Here's the thing that got me to want to talk about this. When I was talking to Justin before this episode, and yes, you got two Justins on here, so we won't make that confusing at all, is understanding that society has evolved. But our practices and our views around marriage have not, right? And so many people are always saying, like, and I've even said this before, like, oh, I don't know, marriage ain't for me. Like, I'm not getting married. And I don't know, I just want a free spirit and like this, that, and the other. But the thing is marriage, we don't even really know what it like looks like and feels like and tastes like and smells like for people like us. And Justin here is the perfect person to talk about this because he is the married voice for millennials. He married his college sweetheart and he sheds light on his entire journey of being a husband with so much transparency and so much vulnerability on his podcast where he's the co-host with his love, right? What's her
yes,
name again?
Her Joy. Her name is Joy.
Joy, with Joy. And their podcast is called Married Millennials. And they tackle tons of stuff like love and relationships and pop culture and politics. And they've had even famous people on there. They had Lena Waithe on there. He's been featured on the Huffington Post. He did a 6-part series of Black. This man, listen, if you want to talk about marriage as a millennial and as a Black person, the only person you need to be listening to is this man right here.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Justin, the intro got me feeling good, feeling confident. I'm like, okay, I need you to come and just do all my intros.
Justin, thank you for being here, man. The Justin and Justin connection. So what I think I want to start with, just to like get right into there, is what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you hear people talking about with marriage that are, like, our views need to shift into something else?
Well, I think you just hit it on the head where a lot of people are saying marriage isn't for me, mm-hmm. or marriage is an antiquated practice.
Yeah.
And you know, there's so many, especially here in Los Angeles, I hear it often. Marriage isn't for me. I want to be a free spirit. I want to do things on my own. But in reality is that we don't necessarily know if nothing's for us if we've never tried it.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you look at our generation, millennials in particular, we have seen a lot of divorce around it, whether that's our parents or friends of the family, colleagues, coworkers, whomever they may be. We have seen a lot of divorce. And now that we live in a 24/7 news cycle, when anyone can post anything and say anything, all of this news gets magnified.
Yeah.
So regardless if it is more, it appears to be more, even if the numbers are the same, because we just constantly see it. And in that standpoint, we have put this negative view on marriage and saying, marriage isn't for me. Marriage is so much work. I don't want to just be with someone for the rest of my life. I want to be free and explore things. And all of a sudden, we have this view that marriage is prison.
Yeah.
And marriage is not prison. Mm. I have been the most free, the most comfortable, the most vulnerable, the most honest, the most transparent since I've been married.
Wow.
My wife and I have been together for 12 years, and we've been married, it'll be 4 years this August.
Wow.
And to sit and see...
And how old are you again?
Just I'm 30 years old.
So y'all hear that. We ain't talking to a 60-year-old man here.
Like, nah, young. You know, and it looks different, because I know a lot of times when we think about marriage and what that smells like, looks like, tastes like, we often hear it from an older view.
Totally.
Whether 40s, 50s, and sometimes that advice isn't coming from folks who look like us.
Totally.
And it's different when you're coming into a relationship with tens of thousands of dollars worth of student loan debt, and you are coming in with something, your wife's coming in with something, and now you guys are combining a life starting literally in the red.
Yeah.
How do we figure this out? How do we move? So it's very different. And now you have a third party in your relationships with social media that didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
There's so many different entry points into your relationship that weren't there 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And if we just continue to approach marriage with that same behavior, we then encounter new problems.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I love that you're talking about here is that one of the views that I think a lot of people have, and that I hear, especially in LA and especially around young people, is like this idea that we have evolved beyond marriage. Like, as if because you want to be in open relationships and you want to be in this and you want to be in that, that means you've like evolved beyond it. But one of the things that's been really interesting for me to learn over the last several years as I've been like doing men's groups and diving into intimacy and all this kind of stuff is oftentimes, I won't say for everybody, this is not a blanket statement.
Of course,
right?
Good.
But oftentimes, all that stuff is just running away from the wall that we're hitting in intimacy.
Can we preach it one more time?
Running just, away. Mm. We run it.
Sprint, full
and,
speed.
But we, it looks like, oh, we're evolving and I'm free and I'm this. It's like, nah, like, let's address why you can't find intimacy anymore at all. Like, what is it that's lost in you that you don't want to touch, you know?
Justin, so, you don't even need me. You're coming out here saying you didn't talk about it, but you understand.
Yeah, I do.
You understand.
I get it.
And it's so true that we do use this evolution. And I'll credit a little bit of that to social media.
Yeah.
A lot of us live lives that aren't real.
Yep.
We post a facade. We create this imaginary version of who we are, or this magnified version of who we are, that we drive the fancy cars. We're always happy. We look great. Our life is perfect. And then on the outside, everyone thinks your life is perfect, but on the inside, there's turmoil.
Yep.
And that's what, you know, we're using. We've moved beyond it. No, we haven't. Now, there are different types of relationships. Obviously, not everyone is interested in a monogamous marriage.
Yeah.
I understand that. I'm receptive to that. I fully get it. There are open relationships, triads, throuples. There are those who are, you know, just in partnerships and don't want to be married. I mean, everyone has different words and lingos,
totally.
You know, but my thing with it is, if you're going to go in that direction, are you doing it because that's authentic to who you are?
Yeah.
Or are you doing it because I've evolved
past
marriage?
And or I think it's even that's just like a projection of who you think you're supposed to be as being as this kind of person, you know, with what you see. So I want to talk from a couple different lenses here. Like, I think, you know, first we can talk about the men in the relationship, and like, you obviously being a man, like, just some of the stuff that you think is essential for this new way of understanding marriage and partnership as a man. And then we're gonna get to you women, don't worry, but you need to pass this on to your men in your life, you know, anyways. But Justin, what you got?
We gotta let it rip. I mean, honestly, the most important thing is vulnerability is our biggest strength. It's our greatest strength. And Brene Brown is a vulnerability expert.
Love her.
If you have not read her books, if you have not watched her recent Netflix special, A Call to Courage, you must watch.
Immediately.
She just breaks it down in a way that makes so much sense. And even as someone who's always been pretty emotionally in tune with myself, I realize still every day that there are hurdles that I have to tackle. You know, case in point, Joy and I have been doing relationship services since 2012.
Okay.
You know, we started off as the blog, then had a radio show, and then turned into the podcast. We've done this 6-part series with Blavity, wrote pieces for the Huffington Post. We've done a lot of different things as far as servicing relationships, and I can sit up here just like most people can and spill off all the things that you should do in a relationship or should do in a marriage. And there were things that I was saying that I knew to be true that I wasn't 100% doing in my relationship myself.
Yeah.
You know, which was crazy. I'm saying everyone, you need to be, you know, honest and communicate and do all of these different things. And there was still a part of me that was holding some reservations in my own marriage that I wasn't fully
living and embracing and embodying,
fully communicative with. And so it was just one of those things where I realized, I said, okay, you know what? I got to really just take a step back and live firmly in my truth.
Yeah.
And what that requires is an unbelievable amount of vulnerability, and it's uncomfortable. I remember when Joy and I just had a recent conversation a few months ago and really just dove into some things and unpacked some things in our relationships over the past 12 years. And some truths came out that hadn't been shared on both sides. And I remember over the course of this, it was a 3-day conversation. So I'll start that. If you've never had a 3-day conversation, like just one of those gauntlets, and one of them was from like 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Like these were gauntlet conversations, and we're 12 years in.
Yeah.
And during this whole, you know, conversation, I remember Joy saying at one point, she said, you know, how do you feel right now? And I just said, extremely uncomfortable.
Mm.
But I had to become extremely uncomfortable to be able to get us into a place where we could truly be comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
And that is not easy at all.
Yeah. And when you're talking about vulnerability, one of the things I want to just unpack that a little bit more here for people who are listening and, you know, may not be as well studied or versed as we have been on, like, what that actually means for a man to be more vulnerable. Like, because it's not just like saying your feelings,
mm-mm,
right? It's more than that. So how do you help people understand how to even start accessing that or touching that or breaking the shell down?
Can you look in the mirror and be fully honest with the being that you're seeing. Mm. Not the reflection that you're seeing, but the being that you're seeing.
Yeah.
And if you can't see your being, then they got a whole nother, and I will refer that to Justin because my man is a meditation guru on how to help you understand yourself beyond just your physical form. But it requires you to really just check in and get really quiet with yourself and be very honest with yourself. I remember having to ask myself certain questions that I didn't really want to ask.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, and the biggest thing that is so simple when people say, like, who am I?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we lead like, who am I? Well, I am. And then we list off all of our accolades.
Job titles.
Yeah. We list like everything. That. Here's my business. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I've won these awards. You know, great. These are all descriptions. These are all roles in which you feel. But who are you as a being? Like, who are you?
Yeah.
And if you can't honestly ask those questions, there's a disconnect. Yeah. And then another big thing in becoming vulnerable is identifying the traumas that are in your life that we have ignored so much as a society, as a community, as a culture.
And we had to.
We're traumatic. We have trauma.
Yeah.
And we have to acknowledge that we have trauma. And trauma doesn't have to be something horrific.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times you hear that word trauma, you go to something that is horrific. And there are people who have dealt with true horrific trauma.
Yeah.
But that doesn't minimize someone else's trauma. That could be trauma within your relationship with your parents or with your family. That could be trauma that you haven't dealt with from a childhood experience. That could be trauma within a friendship or a relationship, a trauma in school that you have just found a way to just, oh, I'm going to just put it in my back pocket and keep it pushing. Nothing bothers me. Yeah. It's all good. You know, I got to be hard for the homies. I got to be cool for the homies. I got to put on and make sure everything's good. I be committed to the grind. I got to make sure all these followers love me. You know, all this thing that we just, you know, put in our bag and act like everything is okay.
Yeah.
But we have to identify and recognize that some of those things that we're proud of aren't good for us.
Yes. Can you please just say that line one more time? Please say it again.
I'm just, some of the things that we are proud of are not good for us.
Yes.
And we just have to, acknowledge that.
Yes.
And, you know, like when you speak to, let's speak to men personally, you know, the biggest thing that we pride ourselves as men is as young teens and we move through our teenage years into adulthood is this player mentality. Like, oh, I just want to sleep with every woman. I want to have, you know, just hook up and do what I do and, you know, big pimp and spin the cheese. You know, I just want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And some people live that and can be that and it doesn't move them. But there are some people who are trying to fulfill that role because that is what's been told that that's what men are supposed to do.
Yep.
Yeah, I tried to do that and I just realized like, y'all, this is not really for me. And that was one of the things that I had to be really honest. It was when Joy and I split after college for a few months, I had to get honest with myself of saying, well, we broke up because I wanted to be free and single and rip and wild and do all the things I wanted to do. But was that in my essence, in my core, who I was?
Yeah.
Was I proud? Oh, yeah, here I am, proud to be out here on these streets and, you know, trying to sleep with as many women as possible. But if that wasn't authentically who I was at my core, why am I trying to hold this as a badge of honor?
Yeah. Like, were you just doing it? Going to that question of like, was I doing it because that's what I thought I'm supposed to be doing at this phase in my life? Because that's what people say I'm supposed to be doing. That's what I'm expected to do. That's
absolutely
what I see in the media. That's whatever. Is this what I like really desire? Mm-hmm. You know? And that's, I mean, that's huge. I'm as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about a phase that I just came through that many of my listeners will know about because I talked about it for the first time a couple months ago, was that I spent 10 months while I was writing my book totally celibate, right? And I'm talking, I didn't kiss anybody. I was pulling my creative energy all the way inwards, like no kissing, no cuddling, no liking pictures on Instagram because I thought somebody was fine. Like,
oh, you nothing. Went all the way
I
in.
I went all the way in. And what was crazy is I had felt my intuition telling me it for a minute. And I kept saying to my friends, like, I think I'm going to do this. And they're like, man, you're 31. You're supposed to be da-da-da-da-da. You're supposed to be doing this. You need to get on an app. You need to get down, da-da-da-da-da, you know? And, but like, just listening inside, I knew. And it wasn't until like one of my spiritual teachers literally like slapped me down with like, hasn't this been coming to you? You know? And like, why that I opened up to, whoa, maybe this path that I've been following is not actually my path. Maybe this is what somebody else thought was I was supposed to do. So I feel you on that.
And you had to get to that point of honesty.
Yeah.
We talk about the vulnerability. Like, you had to have that moment where you were at a party, where you were somewhere, and you're just like, A is not lining up with B.
Yeah.
It's like, this is just not quite working. And you find yourself like doing this dance, and all of a sudden you're like, yo, Justin, what are you doing?
What are you doing? And getting real about the fact that, like, okay, when I was, like, up sexting and texting and doing whatever I was doing, like, after that was all over and I was in bed by myself, how did I feel?
Yeah.
Did I feel any better? No, actually usually worse, you know? And so, and how distracting was that from the goals that I really had, you know, in my life? And so, God, I resonate with this so much. I mean, we could do a whole episode on this.
Oh, we can go in.
But, you know, switching gears a little bit to just talk about now the relationship between the male and female, you know, and I know we have lots of listeners here who are, you know, LGBTQ or identify as different things. So we're having this conversation this way because this is what Justin, it lives in, you know,
sure.
So that's the conversation that we're having, but I'm sure you can take so much from this. So I just, you know, diving into that from the relationship piece itself and talking about things that we may have thought marriage was, but knowing now that they're not for us, you know, or things that have shifted or changed. What do you have to say about that?
You know, to continue in line with that vulnerability piece is a really big component is being emotionally available for your partner.
Mm.
I mean, that's a huge thing. And being emotionally available for yourself. And then also recognizing that, you know, marriage is not the wedding.
Yeah.
That's a huge misconception that, especially now with the gram, is we want to do all these things here. I said yes to the dress and I posted these beautiful pictures and your wedding is a day, your marriage is a lifetime.
Yeah.
And we spend more work, literally, I kid you not, we spend more time planning weddings than we do planning a life together.
Man, you are giving me all the lines right now.
Think about that.
That's real.
You hire a wedding planner.
Yeah. But nobody want to hire a therapist.
But nobody want to say, I want to go see a marriage counselor. Oh, no, I'm cool. I don't need that. But we hire a wedding planner. We spend tens of thousands of dollars. The average wedding in America costs over $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
The average. So, I mean, there's some in the six-figure range.
Right.
So, on average, we spend $30,000 to make sure our day is perfect. But we won't spend a dollar to make sure that our marriage is perfect.
That's real.
So what are we doing? And that's where it talks about, you know, we have to invest in our marriage.
Yeah.
And that sometimes means you have to invest monetarily in your marriage.
Yeah.
That means you have to invest emotionally into your marriage, mentally into your marriage, physically into your marriage, spiritually into your marriage.
Yeah.
Where before it was like, okay, well, the man of the house, you know, you go to work. If we look at the traditional view of marriage, you know, the man is the head of the household, and you'll hear pastors say, you know, in some vows of saying, you know, wives, submit to your husband. I can't stand that line for the life of me.
Right.
And there's no, women don't need to submit to their men.
No. This is 2019, y'all.
No, we need to come together. We need to submit to each other and then move ahead together. This is not, you know, the man on top and the woman underneath. No, this is a partnership of two people.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we've missed the part of marriage is that, yes, this is a contract and it's cute. We have kids. I'm your husband. You're my wife. And look at us. We are achieving the American dream with our white picket fence house and our 2 to 3 kids. Everything is perfect. But if we are not realizing, understanding that marriage really is a partnership.
Yeah.
And we have to be responsible in that partnership, and we have to show up in many more ways than just putting a check on the table and thinking that that's going to suffice.
Yeah. Okay. This is real. And in this process of you with your wife, like, I know one of the things that can be easy for people to see is like, okay, well, they've been together for 12 years and this, and now they're teaching on marriage, so it should be easy. So I'm wondering, what is the lesson about marriage that has taken you the longest to learn?
I'd say the thing that I'm learning and continuing to deal with throughout my relationship is that continued 100% transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Still,
mm-hmm.
I'm still human. I can sit here and tell you right now, you know, the transparency, vulnerability, honesty are your keys and your greatest strengths. And I practice them daily and I struggle with them daily still.
Yeah.
I can, and it's amazing that, you know, you think that, oh, okay, I can do this and you still become an expert. No.
No.
You know, the greatest actors in the world, the greatest musicians in the world still have to go up and practice every day.
Right.
They may be the best at it, can teach it to anyone and everybody, but you still have to show up and practice. So I still have to show up every single day and check in with myself, make sure I'm in a good place. And am I being honest with everything? Am I withholding some truths?
Yeah.
And why am I withholding those truths? Is it necessary information? I'm not of the belief that your partner needs to know everything. You know, there are some things that, oh, okay, well, I made a left turn here instead of a right. Like, you don't need to share everything. But if I am consciously withholding information. Why am I consciously withholding information?
Right. What is that?
What is that?
Yeah.
And we have to dive into that piece. And, you know, sometimes you still may come to the conclusion that that information is not important to share, so I don't share it. You know, but at least we're having that conversation, that conscious check-in with what we are doing. And that's, you know, the part that we continue, when I say we, I have to continue to deal with and be so honest with. And that's why meditation has now become such an essential part of my daily routine.
Amen.
Is because it allows you that moment to just pause.
Yeah.
Listen, breathe, receive.
Yeah.
You know, can you just get really quiet? And if you've never been to a hypnotherapist, I'd recommend going to one of those too, because then you can really be like, oh, I got all kinds of things I ain't dealt with.
Yeah.
But there's just something about that quiet stillness when you're just breathing that all of a sudden you just, you start receiving.
I always say that prayer is when you talk to God or the universe, your higher power, whatever you believe in, but I'll say God for now. Prayer is when you talk to God, and meditation is when you listen to the whisper of God talk back to you.
Woo!
That's it.
That's a bar. That needs to be on a shirt somewhere.
That's when you get quiet enough to hear it, you know, and like it takes that stillness to really face ourselves. And one of the things that you have been talking about is like when we started this episode was this training that we have had as Black people to like push our shit under the rug, push it down. And we've had to, you know, historically, like push it all down just to survive, just to thrive, just to be, you know, to, and now with social media to appear, you know, like we're living a certain way. But when we start to get quiet, I think one of the things people are afraid of is when we finally get quiet, a lot of that stuff starts to bubble up.
It does.
And but people think it's not supposed to, or they're afraid of it. But like, we have to face that stuff to break through these traumas and break through to the next level of our own individual becoming, let alone in a relationship.
So true. I mean, you see celebrities, you know, a lot of your Black celebrities now are talking about it.
Totally.
Jay-Z was kind of one of the first ones, like, you know, since he had his daughter and then realizing like, yo, I got some trauma. I got some things that, you know, I necessarily have been suppressing that aren't good for me.
Yeah.
But we take pride. Again, it's like we take pride in things that are bad for us.
Yeah.
But it's like, why don't we take pride and congratulate, you know, the young men or the brothers who are out here going to therapy, to the sisters too.
Yeah.
You know, why don't we take pride in those who are trying to do things the right way, who are trying to just be better for themselves? And I don't necessarily want to say the right way, because everyone's journey and path is different.
Right.
But they're
on a path of growth.
They're on a path of growth that helps move them better. And if we all as a community commit to doing the work on ourselves, we will then be better as a community.
Yeah.
Period in the story. But we just want to deflect and be like, everything is good. Sometimes everything is not good. And that's okay for things not to be good. It's okay to just unplug and be like, yo, I'm not, that's not it right now. I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling well. Like, we take pride on, you know, let's talk about Black folks in the doctor's office or the dentist's office. Yo, I don't need to go to the doctor. I'm good. What is the pride in saying like, yo, I'm good?
Right.
You got to go once a year to get a physical.
Right.
And we talk about these diseases that, you know, end up killing Black folks that could have been prevented 5, 6, 4 years beforehand if they just had routine checkups.
Yeah.
Why are we taking pride like, yo, I don't have to go see a doctor. I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, and there is the white coat syndrome, you know, that is real. So I'm not playing that down.
It's this and.
But also understanding like that's not a pride thing. I got to check in with the homies like, yo, make sure you schedule that on my group chat. You know, I tell the homies like, yo, make sure you schedule your physical this year.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you need to make sure you go to the dentist. And they're like, yo, what?
Yeah.
Like, there's facts like that. One of my boys ain't been to the dentist forever and finally went. And I'm just like, those are little things. Like, it's okay. Like, we can go to the doctor. We can go make sure we're good. Why do we have to take this pride in like just being these rough and rugged folks when that's not even healthy for our being?
No, and not even healthy, you know, and how can we bring ourselves into a relationship, you know,
absolutely,
when we're not taking care of the essential nature of like who we are, you know, as people and as individuals. And, you know, this leads me into a question for the people listening out there who like me, right? Who like, okay, I'm open. Like, maybe I do one day want to get married. And I actually, me personally, I do, you know, I see myself being married one day. For people who are looking for that kind of a relationship or trying to understand how they could even start to get to a relationship that could lead to something like a conscious marriage of two spiritual equals, like, what steps can people be taking now?
The first step is you got to fall in love with yourself before you fall in love with anyone else.
Mm-hmm. So we hear this, we see this kind of shit on social media all the time, but like, what does that really mean?
Like, what does that really mean is the things that we've talked about is the checking in, is being really honest with, you know, who is Justin Riley? Who is Justin Michael Williams? And not, my descriptions. Yeah. You know, I can go to your website, I can read your bio and be like, okay, great. That tells me everything you've accomplished.
Yeah.
But that doesn't get to know, I don't know you any better than your accomplishments.
Yep.
Like, who are you? Are you the type of person that I may not actually rock with?
Right.
Or you may not rock with me, whatever the case may be. But you know, the energy is good here. I'm already knowing we're in a good space. But your bio, your website, my bio, my website doesn't tell me that.
No.
And so we have to start by saying, who are we? Not just our descriptors, but who are we at a core?
Yeah.
What are things that we do like about ourselves? What are things that we need to improve about ourselves?
Yeah.
And once we become conscious, and I'm not saying you got to become perfect. You know, that means that fall in love with you before you fall in love with someone else. That means I got to be perfect. No. I'm not saying that. That means you've accepted your flaws. You've accepted your humanity. And you are making a conscious effort to then move forward in that space. And then once you start doing that, I've made a conscious decision that, you know what, I'm going to work on myself. And I'm going to be aware and being honest with who I am.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you will start to see the universe and the world just respond to that positivity. It happens. And another thing, you know, I just told to a young lady, you know, those who believe in manifestation, they always say, you know, write everything, you know, the principles of manifestation, write it down, repeat it, and say it and watch it, you know, come to you. But in particular, I like to challenge a little bit of this. When it comes to your relationships, I say, write down your perfect partner, who you in your mind, like, yeah, this is the type of person who completes me, that would make me whole, when that's already a problem in and of that
right,
statement.
I was like, because
you are whole and you are complete.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of the language that we use.
We use.
Oh, whoever's going to make me whole. No one's going to make you whole. No one's going to complete you.
Yeah.
So write down on your list on a piece of paper, who do you want to spend the rest of your life with? And then I want you to tear it up and throw it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we sometimes do is we neglect the person we're supposed to be with because they're not in the package that it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marketing companies do this all the time. They will spend millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on marketing you crap.
Yeah.
But because the packaging is right, you're going to eat it. So sometimes you have on your list a great marketing package, but the contents are not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're out, but you're so committed to this package that all the contents that are in this package don't align with you.
Yeah, you better like look at them ingredients.
Yes,
all
like you got to go read the box. Inside. Like you got to see like, I can't really get down with that.
Yeah.
And I exclude from the list is what I call your non-negotiables.
Right.
Those are those core principles, those core values that drive you as a being.
Yeah.
Those are things that I can't fold on. I'm not going to bend on. I'm looking for these levels, these values, these principles, these belief systems and people.
Yeah.
And that's just a non-negotiable universal understanding. But as far as the contents, I want you to write down all those, that marketing material that you think you need, write it down,
throw it away,
throw it in the trash. And then at that point you open yourself up to what can be.
Yeah.
And you may be surprised. The person who is perfect for you may not look or may not be. And I'll use this point with Joy, my wife. I had always said I wanted to date someone who was a tall athlete, loved sports.
Mm-hmm.
My wife probably couldn't spell sports if I gave her S-P-O-R-T-S. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, went to almost all my college games, still doesn't understand basketball.
That's so
doesn't
funny.
Have a clue. Yeah. She's 5'7". She's a book nerd, sci-fi lover, Harry Potter buff, things that I have literally no interest in.
Yeah.
Now, I share those interests because those are passions and hobbies of her. And as a supportive spouse and husband, and if you're a supportive spouse or wife, doing the same thing is leaning into your partner's interest. That helps build, you know, romance in your relationship. But I now looked at this woman. I was like, wow, you don't have anything that I thought. Now, is she a beautiful black woman? Absolutely, she is.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't fit all those other necessary interests, but she's the exact person I needed.
The exact person that's right for you. And once you got into the contents, you know, then you saw what was
absolutely
really inside. Yeah, it was really interesting. And this is so good. And I think one of the things that I've always found with myself when I was in like committed relationships, like the deep ones, you know, is that the growth, you know, we're all trying to grow and everybody listening here is trying to grow themselves and learn more and personal growth and this and that. But I've never grown more as a person than when I was in a relationship. I think the reflection that happens, you know, from one person to the other, it's like you're in a pressure cooker of growth. You
absolutely
know, it's always being reflected back to you.
It's like, imagine you're with somebody who's constantly holding a mirror up to you.
Yep. Yeah,
like you can duck and dodge all you want by yourself.
Right.
Like when you're in a serious relationship and you have flaws or you got things that you're working on, and if you have the right partner, they're going to just shine that mirror right in your face.
Be like, look, excuse me.
Like, like, you got things you need to work on, just like, yeah. And they're doing the same thing to you.
Yeah.
You know, this is a two-way interaction, and I have grown immensely in my relationship.
That's
a big thing, is finding a partner who challenges you.
Yeah.
Who like pushes you to be your best version of you.
Yeah.
Joy does not cut me any slack when it comes to me being the best Justin I can be.
Yeah.
And some of that requires those conversations where I just say, I'm completely uncomfortable.
Yep.
And I just have to own it and stand in complete discomfort.
And that's something that I think a lot of people get confused about and need more practice in, because a lot of times when we're in those uncomfortable moments, we think that the solution is to get rid of the discomfort, right? But usually the solution is to go through the discomfort.
Lean into
all
it.
All the way through it.
Lean it.
You know, to the other side, because otherwise we're just backing away from it and we're trying to fix the problem. And a lot of times I find in relationship, at least, like fixing the problem for people looks like compromising on their values or saying yes when they really mean no. And then that builds up like resentment later instead of actually pushing through and moving through the discomfort itself and sitting in it.
Well, there's the symptom and then there's the disease.
Mm-hmm.
We, in relationships, in marriages, we want to treat the symptoms.
Yep.
We spend time bickering, fussing, and fighting over the symptoms.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, the symptoms are good. You know, medical professionals use symptoms to help diagnose what? A disease.
Right.
If all you're doing is addressing symptoms in your relationship, you're not addressing the disease.
Yeah.
And that disease very much could be a trauma in the past. It could be, you know, you being an inauthentic version of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do, is we have to treat our diseases. And this is when I talk about being vulnerable and open. And I don't use disease necessarily in a negative way.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's the type of understanding that we have to have, is like, I'm having these reoccurring problems that happen over and over in my relationships or in my life or in my marriage. What's not changing?
Yeah.
If these symptoms keep reoccurring and you keep treating it with the same medication and it's not curing, so you haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, I haven't figured it out. Yeah.
And that's what we spend 5, 10, 15, 20 years doing it. Then all of a sudden, 25 years later, what have you happened?
Yeah.
That whole time you've been treating X and you've missed all of Y, and now divorces are happening after 20 years, after 25 years, after 30 years. Oh my gosh, you guys appeared to be the perfect couple. Well, yeah, like, we put on a show.
Put
we
did on a great. Show, constantly we treated the symptoms.
Treated the symptoms. It was fine. But then once that disease broke through the surface, there was nothing we could do.
Yeah. And okay, so here's a question then. For people who are out there in relationships or married, when do you know that you're in the wrong marriage or the wrong relationship? Like, when do you know that this is not something I'm supposed to be in, versus like, you know, because I think we have this thing of like, oh, if we just work on it and I'm so committed, we keep working and keep working and keep working. But sometimes it is time to say no.
Absolutely.
So when is that?
I think it's very dependent, situationally based, depending on your marriage. But once you compromise your internal values, your core values, your core principles, your non-negotiables, as I said, once those become jeopardized and in question, that's when we got to start having a really real conversation.
Yeah.
Because when you have the right partner, they're not going to compromise you.
Right.
They're going to challenge you.
They wouldn't even be interested in compromising.
No, they're not. They're going to challenge you to be the best version of you, but they're not going to compromise you.
Yeah.
A general of an army is not going into battle trying to compromise or put his soldiers in a compromising position.
Right.
We're going to be very strategic in how we place, and we understand that there are some dangers affiliated with this. But we're not just, we're just going to send them into a compromising situation. That does not happen. So you have to realize, okay, is my core being, my core principles, are those being compromised?
Right.
And at that point, it's going to be time to step away. And that may be the step away. Maybe we need to go see a therapist. And that's a very important topic. If you're in a relationship and you're trying to seek guidance or help within your marriage and your partner is 100% resistant to it, why are you so resistant?
Right.
And if this is, I'm trying to make this work, that to me shows that you're not interested in making this work.
Right.
And thinking about, we can figure this out. We've tried to figure this out for 5 to 10 years and nothing's changing. I need some help, outside help to help guide this, to help move this. And then if they're completely resistant to that change, stubborn, stuck in their ways, okay, at that point you might have outgrown your partner.
Yeah. And that
happens.
That's a big cue I've always found, is like when the partner is not willing to do the work, like that for me is an ending point, because it's like, if I'm somebody who's constantly growing and evolving and wanting to deepen the relationship, and I forget what I read. It was like, damn, who said this? But it was basically, most people get married 3 or 4 times. Some of us are lucky to be married to the same person all those times. I thought that was real. So good, because like you're changed. Think about who constantly. You were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So you have to be able to be willing to constantly do the work to realign yourselves as you're growing and changing.
That's
right?
An amazing quote.
Yeah. Isn't that great? That's I wish I could remember who said it. I'm sure we can Google it.
And I think too, that speaks to the commitment to work.
Yes.
That we have to be willing to do, is that you have to be committed to do the work, and you use that word work. And again, that's also not a negative thing. You know, we all get up and go to work every single day. Some like it more than others.
Yeah.
But it's a part of us being. And working within your marriage is challenging at times, but it's also very rewarding at times. And you do grow. You know, the person who I would say right now, I'm approaching phase 4 of my 12-year relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The first phase was our college phase, and then we broke up. Then the second phase was when we got back together then we were celibate for 3.5 years before we got married.
Wow.
Yes. And that's a whole
nother episode. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation for a whole different day. But we were sexually active for the first three, four years of our relationship. And then we were celibate for the next 3.5 years before we got married. So it was an interesting spin
that's
on how
amazing.
How we did it. So that was phase 2. Phase 3 was us, you know, we getting married and learning how to be husband and wife toward each other, what that looked like. And now as we approach parenthood, I'm entering phase 4
mm-hmm.
of my 12-year relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have been in a relationship for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and you're still in phase 1,
you got some growing to do.
Got some growing to do. And maybe that growing is I can't grow with you.
Right.
But we have to be okay with that.
Right.
And realizing is I'm not against divorce.
Yeah.
I'm against divorces that end because two people are unwilling to work.
Right.
Now, if you guys work and you figure something out, you know what? This isn't it. Okay. We messed up. We got it wrong.
Yeah.
We did the work later instead of beforehand.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the point that we were talking about. We spend $30,000 on a day, but want to spend $0 on a lifetime.
Yeah. Like that is the point, man. I mean, that point, I will never forget in my entire life you saying that, because I have been to, you know, we're at that age right now. I'm 31, you're 30, like where everybody's getting married. And I'm watching all these weddings, and, you know, there's been a few that I've been to that I've been just, you know, because I think I'm paying attention to the emotional resonance that's happening.
You're like,
And there's been a few that I've been to, and I'm like, like, y'all don't really, like, are you even here for this right now? Like, are you just here for the pictures, you know? And some people are just here for the pictures, but to think that people are like, I don't have enough money to go to see a relationship counselor, or to go to therapy, or to go to coaching, or to go to anything, but then... Anyway, people get it. I have to, though. There's no way I can get off this episode without getting at least a little bit of tea about this non-celibate to celibate moment and like what that created, because I know our listeners are like left hanging on that one, and I'm not willing to leave you hanging because I was curious too. So I know we don't have a lot of time.
No worries. But I'll speed through it. It was, you know, it was one of those things that I truly felt it was placed on both of our hearts to just transition our relationship into something different. And I remember the day vividly. I walk into Joy's place, and she's got that weird grin on her face. And, you know, when anyone says, I think we need to have a talk, or I have a question for you, you know, the panic button just automatically goes specifically for men. And she said, you know, I've been thinking of wanting to try celibacy. And I just started laughing. And I said, you know, I've had that same feeling placed on my heart as well. And I said, so let's do it. And her original thing was 40 days. And my thing was, I said, look, if we both got this message, it's both been placed on our hearts, let's just do this until we get married. I didn't know when that date was going to be.
Were
and
you
ended
guys
up being
engaged?
No, we weren't even engaged. Wow. That was 3.5 years. So we started our celibacy journey. I want to say that was April. It was April of 2012, and we were married in August 2015.
Wow.
So it was 3.5 years. And what it did is it completely transformed our relationship.
How?
In the sense that if we repositioned sex in a way that was, we viewed it in a way that was so much more different. Oftentimes we use sex as a way of communicating our emotions and feelings. I love you, let's have sex. I'm mad at you, let's have sex. You look good tonight, let's have sex. We use sex, this physical act, as our emotion of expressing true feelings and intimacy with each other. But when you realize, when you take that away And it's like, how can I express that same level of intent and desire without sleeping with you?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you then connect on a spiritual level.
Totally.
You connect being to being, and cuddling now has more has more
so
impact.
Much more juice, yeah.
Just sitting and talking, having conversations. My wife and I still, till this day, Joy and I will sit up and have conversations till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, just talking.
12 years later.
Because that became our intimate time.
Yeah.
And,
when you're saying celibate, you mean like all things.
All things. So there was no oral sex. There was no physical sex. Nothing.
Wow.
Like just we got to first base. Like literally, we got to first base, and we just like, you know, sometimes you're trying to steal second, and that's where we went. You know, it was very much like we cut it. Kissing was our thing.
As far as you can go.
And then, you know, to be completely honest, there were probably about five occasions where, you know, we used hands like teenagers.
Right.
And I can honestly say it maybe happened less than five times in 3.5 years. Cause this got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm losing my mind.
Right. Right.
But it was that was a splurge. Like think about that as grown people.
Right.
And using your hands is the splurge.
That's the splurge.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yo, I understand. Cause like, I'm currently, as we're recording this episode, I'm heading into my 11th month of this now.
And it just completely changes you. And so once we reintroduce sex into our relationship, it was repositioned in a way that it wasn't our primary method of communicating.
Yeah. Or emoting.
No, it wasn't. Now, am I saying sex is not important or sex is underrated? Absolutely not. I mean, there's plenty of research to support this. Sex is beneficial and healthy and should be incorporated within your marriage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. But what it allowed us to do was to reposition it in a different way that it can, we can really just get the benefits and reap from it without using it as a crutch to our primary means of communication.
So that's so good.
Relationship,
man,
has completely changed, and I can go now and it doesn't happen. But if someone said like, oh, you know, you enjoy, couldn't sleep together for 3 months. Okay.
Cause you have a depth of connection that is beyond,
that goes beyond it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not dependent on it.
Yeah.
Do I love it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Does she love it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we can connect on a deeper level. Now that's just the cherry on top.
Yeah, that's good. Man, I mean, and so for those of you listening who want to dive deeper into this, if you just scroll a little bit back, you'll see an episode that's called Celibacy and Sobriety that kind of talks a little bit even about the science-based stuff around celibacy and this for men and women. So because I know this has probably opened up in a whole can of worms that people are like, how do I continue going into this can?
Yep.
You know? And so we have that for you if you scroll back. And Justin, wow, I'm going to right now just already invite you back onto this podcast
at some point.
I know, you know, by the time this episode airs, you will be a dad.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. How are you feeling about that?
So excited. You know, I think the best thing about it, we're expecting a baby girl. And the biggest thing that I'm most excited about is being able to see the world through a woman's eyes from the very beginning. And I think as men, we've never really been able to experience that or understand that.
Yeah.
You understand, you know, your mom and your sister, and we use this example, is like, you know, treat other women the way you would want them to be treated by other men.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't land the same way. It's a different disconnect when you look at your romantic relationships and compared to your sisters and your moms.
Yeah.
For some reason, it does not land the same way. And so I've learned to understand more of life as a woman through Joy's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she teaches me, but there's things that I still just don't fully understand.
Yeah.
But as I get the opportunity to parent this young baby girl, my daughter, I will be able to, as best as I can, see the world through her eyes.
Yeah.
That's a learning experience that I am...
What a gift.
...so excited about. I can get emotional thinking about it. You know, it's just one of those things that it's like the ability to learn and see, you know, what life is like, you know, from infancy all the way up until however many years I have blessed, you know, with her as long as I can be on this earth.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing I'm most, you know, looking forward to. And then also just learning more about me.
Yeah.
What can I do better? You know, there's, an understanding, like when we became adults, you realize that your parents are human.
Totally.
I think you don't understand that when you're a child.
Yeah.
You kind of put them on this higher
pedestal.
They're
just people.
Yeah, but it's like when you understand, like you have that aha moment. It's like, you know, they're people just like us. And you think back when my parents had me, I said, okay, you're 30 years old. I'm 30 years old right now.
Yeah.
I know what I know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do as best as what I can with what I have. but I'm still a person.
Still learning,
still growing. And I'm still learning and still growing, and I would take those lessons and apply that to my parenting. But there's a point, I'm sure she's 18 years old, she's going to hop on some podcast and be like, my daddy messed me up too.
Right.
And I might have to listen and deal with that, you know, just like, you know, I did the same thing with my parents.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty. That's the cycle of life and the understanding that we can continue to grow and we continue to evolve as people, you know, things can happen. So I literally can't wait to start this journey.
Man, and this is so beautiful because as you grow and as you evolve and then you pass that down, and yes, of course your daughter will still inherit some kind of a trauma because we all do,
for sure,
you know, but the growth is still happening generationally, you mm-hmm. know, and it's getting, and we're not passing down the same traumas over and over and over and over when we each as individuals are growing. And I think that's been one of my biggest like prayers when I'm doing these episodes is like, if little things get into people's hearts that help change them and undo some of the internal and internalized oppression that we've picked up from literally all the way back to slavery, you know, then we don't have to keep passing this down, you know, to the future generations, whether so you have true. Kids or not, you know? And so, wow, Justin, I just thank you, you know,
thank
so
you.
Much for this conversation. This has been so enlightening for me, and I'm sure for you listening, for you as well. Justin, can you just, I'll have stuff in the show notes, but just tell people what they can expect to look forward to from you and also where they can find you.
Yes, some exciting news. So Joy and I will be featured on season 3 of Black Love on OWN. So we're really excited about that. You know, love the show. Everything that they're doing is just showing love in a positive, black, honest, real way.
Yep.
Is always a beautiful thing. So I'm excited that Joy and I had the opportunity to
such
be
a big
part
deal.
Of that story. So can't wait to see that. And also, you know, this venturing into, you know, parenthood and seeing what things that we're going to learn. And I'm sure that's going to completely change the content that we record, you know, when it comes to our podcast. You know, we're currently on a hiatus because we want to enjoy, you know, this moment of
yeah.
being pregnant and preparing for our first child. And that's the part of checking in with yourself. I'm like, I need a second.
Yeah.
So, you know, but Merry Millennials is our podcast. We got, I believe it's 147 episodes up there on the
and
bank.
It's great. Y'all listen
so there's
to it.
A
there's
a lot
really
of
good
content
stuff in there.
There's a lot of content in there that you could learn from and grow from. And we also have some resources on our website, lovejays.com. That's lovejays.com. We teach a premarital coaching course, which is 15 must-have conversations before saying I do. That is a small, very small investment to help make sure that when you say I do on your wedding day, you really mean it and you're aware of it. And we also have a relationship maintenance package up there as well, as and for those who are also single and dating,
yeah.
just to, you know, having those real honest conversations of saying, okay, is it time to check in? Am I missing something? So there's definitely resources up there. We also have financial resources available, you know, for married couples on the website. So lovejays.com.
It'll be down there in the show notes. You guys get everything you need.
Give you everything you need.
Yeah, these people know. Listen, they know what's up. So if you want to get your life together in this way, you know, I definitely could not, like, with the depth of my being and soul, recommend Jay and Joy more. Or Justin and Joy. I'm sorry, I said Jay because I love Jays. Justin
yeah, no,
and Joy.
No, that's all good. I was like, my nickname goes by Jay,
yeah,
so that's all good.
You know, more strongly. So for those of you listening right now, I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day and out of your life to allow these two Justin's voices into your ears right now. It's an honor and a privilege that I know that we both don't take for granted.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. And if you haven't done so already, I invite you to just subscribe to this wherever you're listening and make sure you comment, do a rating on it. And that's not just for my ego, even though I do love reading the comments.
Absolutely.
It really does. And Jay knows it. Just, I keep calling you Jay.
You're like, love Jay. It's Jay.
Yeah, I keep calling you Jay. But Justin knows this from having his own podcast. Like, it really helps other people see these episodes when you write, rate, and comment, and especially share. So we love you. We thank you. We honor you. This has been Justin Michael Williams, and I'll talk to you on the next podcast. Bye.